Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Number One Bengals Podcast. I'm your host, Eddie McDuke. I'm joined, finally, by Bridget the HR Jancars.
I'm back.
She is back.
He censured me for a while, but no more.
Well, you never got me the bling, the ice, as we call it, that Pac-Man Jones got me, as you can
That's
see around
my
neck.
That's very true. That's very true.
Nothing like that. So we had our little... We had a little stint, if you will, with Pac-Man Jones, but we discovered what we had here was actually better. So we're back. We're back home with Bridget the HR Jancars. And we have my favorite person in the world that we've ever had on the show, Mr. Jack Settleman. He is a Ravens fan, but he's still somehow a very beautiful person. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Appreciate you. I've missed you guys. Glad to be here today.
I mean, I think it's fair to say of our AFC North rivals, Ravens fans are the least awful.
That is high praise. That is high praise.
Steelers and Browns, they're not welcome.
It's a low bar to clear, but I would agree. If it weren't for the last couple, you know, playoff game last year, some primetime battles, I think I didn't really see Cincy and Baltimore as that big of a rivalry. I think we just both agreed. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, disgusting human beings, disgusting teams, disgusting cities. But I like the friendly rivalry that the Ravens and Bengals have right now.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's been a back and forth. I mean, the Bengals have struggled against the Ravens, stopping the run. You know, 2021, the Bengals dominated the Ravens, but overall it's been pretty close. And then we had that wild playoff game where the Ravens almost pulled it off with the backup QB. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to the matchup. But first, let's talk about last week where both teams lost. They suffered really ugly losses, if you will. The Ravens lost to the Cleveland Browns, who Deshaun Watson actually looked better in the second half when his shoulder was bubbling, when part of his shoulder was poking out. He got in a better groove, the best groove all season, and he defeated them, and then he was put on IR. What happened, Jack?
Yeah, I think that's actually pretty crazy. Maybe the broken bone in his shoulder made him throw better because that was the best he looked all year. I'll give him credit. Ravens fans want to act like the Ravens have just beaten themselves all year, which I think against Pittsburgh and Indy, you can make that claim. But in the second half, the Browns dominated the Ravens. And I know we want to talk like thematically, is this a big deal or are we just on to Thursday night? And I would say the one kind of red flag I saw from that game was they got out physical. It looked like the 2020, 2021 Ravens where no one really wanted to tackle, no one wanted to be physical. And in the trenches, they really got exposed. So I think that's the biggest thing to look for. Roquan Smith, can he turn that team around going into Thursday night? Another AFC North matchup. Ravens have the late bye, so they have two more games before the bye. And then headed into that final kind of third of the season where the schedule gets tough. So I still feel good about the Ravens. They're still first in the North. Obviously, Watson's loss is huge, but there were some ugly warning signs that popped up on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that Lamar Jackson looked like he's having an MVP season, and I would say he struggled in that second half, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so. I think the interception wasn't necessarily his fault. It just hit some dude in the head, and it happened to land in his arms for a pick six. But overall, he missed a deep shot to Zay Flowers he probably could have connected on. It was just an ugly game, which is AFC North football. And that's kind of the weird part. If Lamar and the Ravens can't win ugly, that's not a great sign. They can never beat Pittsburgh for whatever reason. Even if Pittsburgh literally cannot move the ball down the field, they just find a way. And the Ravens got to find a way more often to capitalize on these fourth quarter leads.
Agreed. Bridget, what did you see in the Bengals game in their ugly loss to the Texans? By ugly, what we mean is the Bengals, look, they fell asleep after that first drive, basically until the end of the game. What happened, Bridget?
Well, we've got to break this down. So I was sitting in my seat, right? We get a touchdown on our first drive, which is, I think, the fourth or fifth consecutive game where that happened. Now, did a penalty help us out? Yes. Joe Burrow, I think, got a call, finally, a roughing the passer call. And then when we stopped the Texans on fourth down, got that fourth down turnover, the Texans fan behind me literally took off his jersey, threw it on the ground, was stomping on it. And I thought we were going to see a game much like we saw at home against the Panthers or the Falcons last year. I thought we were going to see something really dominant. We saw kind of that bend, don't break defense from Lou. And then all hell broke loose. And so being asleep is actually probably the best way to describe it, because we weren't really firing all cylinders on any phase. I mean, the defense was struggling to stop Singletary. Singletary and Noah Brown feasted off the Bengals. They stole every one of those guys' lunches. And so the secondary hasn't been great. Teams have been able to kind of dink and dunk. There's guys usually wide open for, you know, at least a 10 to 15 yard gain, if not more, with yards after the catch. So, I mean, we were missing Von Bell and Jesse Bates last week. I think our safeties aren't quite there yet. I don't think Nick Scott is playing the way we would have liked. I think Nick Scott and Irv Smith haven't been the greatest free agent signings. They give me a lot of Lyle Collins energy from last year in terms of free agency signings. And then the offense just looked off. Joe Burrow was off. Mixon wasn't able to break tackles. We just weren't seeing. There were a couple explosives, but there were just a lot of elements that weren't on fire. And, you know, I usually expect to see a little bit more run defense.
Yeah.
Didn't see that at all. And we could not pressure Stroud. He had all day to throw that ball.
Well, those are all good points. And we have a question from the tippity top. How do you see the trench battle going tomorrow night? Now, Jack, I'm going to start this discussion off with you. We're going to preview tomorrow's game. And I'm going to admit, I have not been following the Ravens very much this season. I've just the one game, you know, against the Bengals that they lost. But I was reading about this man, Justin Marmaduke. Now, I want to remind you, I thought that Marmaduke, I was like this oversized dog that sounds like Owen Wilson. But this man has 8.5 sacks on the season. And I think at least half a sack in like seven consecutive games. And the Bengals, you know, they started the season pretty strong offensive line-wise, but they fell apart last game. I mean, they had Orlando Brown had a bad game in pass protection. We had some of our best players not playing up to it.
Alex Kappa did not play like he's played most of the season. I think he might have had some of the worst O-line performance on Sunday. And just, I mean, Joe, even though he made some great throws, Joe looked under pressure and was scrambling a lot.
Yeah. So, Jack, what do you see in this matchup of the Baltimore pass rush against the Bengals offensive line?
Yeah, Justin Marmaduke has been a breakout star for the Ravens this year. Madubuike, honestly, like, people are saying he is playing as well as Aaron Donald can play. Maybe not peak Aaron Donald, but yeah, that half sack or more in like seven straight games, he's been disruptive. The Ravens this offseason, they've got Geno Stone, who's leading the league in interceptions, Madubuike, who's just set a franchise record, and then also Patrick Queen are all free agents. So they're all balling out in their contract year. Last week was probably the first week all season where the Baltimore pass rush did not finish. Once again, it looked a lot like 2020, 2021. The Browns were missing three of their top tackles also. They were getting pressure, but they were not finishing, and it looked a lot like Burrow making plays, Big Ben making plays, you know, the old days where maybe we just weren't wrapping up and tackling. So the Ravens still don't have an elite pass rusher. They just have, you know, kind of stacked the chips with Owe and then the vets like Van Noy and Clowney, and even Van Noy's on the injury report this week. He's questionable, but will likely go. So I think there's potential that the Bengals will get out there and they'll be quick. They'll do their little dink and dunks. The one matchup is Mike McDonald, the defensive coordinator. He's had Burrow's number. I don't think any Bengal fan will deny that. He just sits back too high safety and makes Joe, you know, stay patient underneath. And it's done really, really good things to the Ravens. So we'll see. Marlon Humphrey's going to be out tomorrow night. T. Higgins will be out. You know, I think on both sides, two stars are missing for each team, and those can kind of counter each other, to be honest. So in the trenches, my biggest thing, and, you know, like you said, you haven't really watched the Ravens much. I haven't seen a ton of Cincy. My biggest fear is always, what's DJ Reader going to do? He can blow up a game on himself. And then I see Devin Singletary's got 150 rushing yards. Cincy's 30th in the league in run defense. What's going on the defensive trenches there?
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, DJ Reader is elite, but yeah, we've had struggles against the run this year. That is true.
And you mentioned the secondary is struggling, I think, a little on their role in stopping the run. I mean, I think our big guys are trying, but when folks are able to be creative, there's not a lot of. There's not a lot of depth in that.
Even our linebackers were out of position a lot in the Texans game, unfortunately. They did not have a great run, a stopping game. But you mentioned Mike McDonald. And, you know, Zarvia Smith of Georgia, who was his coach there, he said he's the, quote, the smartest man in the world. Is that true? Is that true, Jack? Because I always thought, look, I never thought of intelligence and football being connected. But now you see this guy, Mike McDonald, you see Mike McDaniel, you see all these Mike McWhatevers who are these super smart guys, and they are outsmarting, you know, other teams, other offenses and defenses. What do you know about this guy? And by the way, I want to mention Lou Anarumo, he's no slouch. Did you know he went to Harvard?
I didn't. Did he like get lunch there, or he actually studied there?
He coached the defensive backs and special teams from 1995 to 2000. He didn't study there, but he's probably also one of the smartest men in the world. Jack,
100%.
So here's the thing, though. Just counterpoints. Joe Burrow, they had him with the Tampa 2 early last season. You remember that? He was a strike. So I feel like Joe Burrow, he evolves. And the Tampa 2 no longer phases him at all. And I think he's had a whole offseason to plan. I mean, he won the playoff game against Mike McDaniel. Whatever. I can't even say his name. It's so close. Mike McDaniel. But yeah, he won that playoff game. And I feel like Joe Burrow is going to have a trick up his sleeve for him.
He won that playoff game because Tyler Huntley said, who wants this ball right here? We're on the 1 yard line. Anyone want to take it? I mean, I think
that was a great play by Jermaine Pratt. To the amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wouldn't give credit to Burrow.
Hey, by the way, did you know Tyler Huntley had a better playoff game than Lamar Jackson's ever had? Did you know he had a higher QB rating? He had overall, statistically, he was better than any of Lamar Jackson's games. So that was an advantage.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that maybe it was.
I would bench Lamar Jackson, honestly, if I was
for tomorrow night. I mean,
I would not. I don't like the Bengals against backup QBs. I don't like us against backup QBs at all.
Yeah, let me just—I guess Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley's got like one drive this year. He threw a touchdown to Odell. So yeah, maybe the Bengals fans don't want Pro Bowl Tyler Huntley coming in there.
Jack, look, you mentioned Marlon Humphrey. He's your best friend. You two do a podcast together. It is called.
Go ahead. Punchline.
Punchline with Marlon Humphrey and Jack Settleman. And here's what I want to know. You are close with the team. You hang out with the team. And a couple of years ago, Wink Martindale, he came out. He said that I'm not ready to give Joe Burrow his gold jacket yet, which is ridiculous. Obviously, all the things Joe Burrow had done for the franchise up till then, that's ridiculous. But what has Mike McDaniel said about Joe Burrow behind the scenes? What, I mean... Because obviously Joe Burrow, he went out, he had, you know, 500 something yards passing, 4 or 5 touchdowns after that game. So these things matter. What have you heard from Mike McDaniel? Just anything derogatory about Joe Burrow that we can share?
And we mean Mike McDonald, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bulletin board material from Mikey Max. I think they have a ton of respect for Joe Burrow. I think that's why they put so much. That's why they put so much attention into game planning against him. Like you said, it's been cool to watch ever since that one big game that Burrow had. I would say the Ravens defense has had a lot of success, but even if you look at last year's primetime game in Baltimore, where finally Joe kind of cracked the code late in the game, led the game winning drive, obviously Ravens come back down and kick a game winning field goal, but you could tell that it really is a chess match. And over the course of 60 minutes, I think McDaniel, or now you've got me messed up, McDonald will have an approach to limit Burrow, and then Joe and the offense will figure it out over the course of the game. And once they figure out the counter, is it too late? Have the Ravens gotten a lead? Or, you know, are they able to sustain it? So I don't have much bulletin board material. They have a ton of respect for Joe Burrow. I know that. They think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that...
Okay.
Okay, here's your bulletin board material.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Yeah.
The Ravens don't think Joe Burrow was hurt for week two, and they think that when he limped after throwing that last interception, that was a little bit of embellishment, and they didn't necessarily appreciate that. So there you go.
Okay, let me get this down on here. So you're saying, which Ravens? Give me names. Hold on. Give me names.
Well, Geno Stone had the interception. Kyle Hamilton's in the secondary. I'm pretty sure, like, who locked down Rocky, or who locked down Jamar in the end zone that game? Was it Rakusin? So yeah, give him some of the secondary names.
So they are saying that he faked his injury. Those guys.
Yes, exactly.
That is good. I love that, Jack. I love that. I love you, Jack. Wow, this is so good. So many good articles can come out of that.
Because did you see how he played against the Titans the following week? If he was injured, he was having a personal metaphysical crisis because only scoring 3 points against that Titans team and allowing them to score 27. Like, something's wrong there. That team is not strong. And we've kind of had Derrick Henry's number. I thought maybe the Bengals broke the Titans in the divisional game in our Super Bowl run season. But for some reason, I don't know if it was Ted Karras as, you know, the Titans bulletin board material or what, but I mean, I said that I thought the Titans was going to be that one game when we get to the end of the season that we're going to be like, what the heck happened? It might now be the Texans game, or maybe we'll have two, but I don't know. Burrow definitely, he looked awful, I guess. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. I had to feed the doctors on the show. I think that he was definitely, it was the fact that he wasn't really at training camp, you know, preseason because of the calf, and he's become much more mobile over the last few weeks. I think that's the clearest part, is he was just sitting in the pocket and he couldn't do anything. And now he's getting outside of it. But I do think there was a little bit of everyone's done it in their life. You know, you mess up and it's like, you know, my back actually was hurting. So, yeah, maybe we'll see. We'll see on Thursday.
Speaking of making excuses, I just want to say that Dr. Hoji the Electric Esmoji is here, but he cannot show his face because
he has.
Well, I don't know what his excuse this time is, but it's always a new kind of cosmetic update with him. Welcome to the show, Dr. Hoji.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, actually, good to see everybody. And this was indeed a cosmetic, not a mishap so much as, it really happens to everybody all the time. I was getting my nipples tanned. You know where I go, by the way, to get for the tanning of the nipples? The best place in America to tan your nipples. Did you know this, Jack? Where it is?
Skyline Chili?
No. It's a place in Guilford, Maryland. Guilford, which is the posh, it's a very nice area in Baltimore, Maryland. That's where I go to tan my nipples. And, I stayed a little bit under too long, so I'm all burnt up and can't show my face. But,
Did you see any Ravens players in the salon there, the tanning
salon? Well, we're not really supposed to talk about who comes in and out. But, yeah, there were a few. I've seen a few come in over the years.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the product placement. Speaking of which, Jack, I want to give you a gift, if that's okay. We love you so much. I want to share something with you on the show, which is, you know how I am an entrepreneur, and you are an entrepreneur. You're a very smart businessman, and you tend to lift people up with your charisma, with your positive energy. A lot of people need emotional support these days. And so I had my engineers develop a pillow. It is called Jack Me Up, okay? As you can see, it looks a little bit like you. It's a big teddy bear, okay, that people can cuddle up with, and they will lift up, they jack me up, lift their spirits with this emotional support pillow. And guess what? We have a Black Friday special. It's only $499.99.
Jack, are you an outer spoon kind of guy or an inner spoon kind of guy?
I love to be spooned.
I knew it. I was gonna say that's where they got the pillow wrong, because he's
no.
Where they got the pillow you can put wrong a lot was of making Jack look like Shrek.
Hold on,
that was the mistake.
Wait a minute, these are the top engineers.
For $500, that's about as good as you can do. I just want to say.
I'm nervous. It looks so real that my fiance is going to be upset, wondering who I'm sleeping with.
But she's not going to be upset when you travel. She's going to have a solution for that.
I mean, that's true. You know, you guys, Daddy hired the top incarcerated engineers in the country.
Right.
At slave labor wages.
Yeah, technically didn't hire. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jack, I think it's about that time that we make our predictions for the upcoming game. Let us start with Bridget.
This is really hard, guys. So Hubbard being out is my biggest concern. I don't like that Yoshivash is out either. T's explosive. He's amazing. We always want him on the field. I don't worry as much about the wide receiver depth. Hubbard out makes me nervous. Lamar is a good quarterback. I've always said this. I've always liked Lamar. I think he's prone to injury and health issues, and I will admit I thought he would be plagued by that by this point in the season, and he's not. I want to say it's going to be close. I could see it being, I don't know. I could see the Bengals winning 28-27.
Wow. Okay.
Very precise.
And Mr. Jack Sittleman.
Jack Sittleman.
I think that the score will be low scoring. That is what I've seen over the last few Ravens Bengals games. I quite honestly didn't understand how bad Cincy's defense has been. When we played in week two, it really did feel like that. Like the Ravens could get anything they wanted on the ground, through the air. It felt easy to go down the field. And then they got hot. They kind of got it together. And I figured maybe that defense was back. That's the biggest thing. Joe and the offense is always going to be able to produce. But the defense is what makes that team special. And if you're telling me the defense isn't where we want it to be, I don't really buy that Hendrickson's going to play. And if he does, I can't imagine how he hyperextended his knee. So we'll see on a short week. Yeah. I'm going to go 24-21 Ravens. And if it was 24-21 Cincinnati, it would not shock me. But it is the biggest game of the year for both teams. This will probably determine the division. So I'm excited. It's going to be a blackout in the stadium on Thursday, which should be fun. Ravens fans got a lot of pent-up energy after the loss on Sunday. But I appreciate you guys having me on, as always. I do think you are the top fan base in the AFC North, because we just hate
Pittsburgh. We're the Jack Sedman.
And we hate Cleveland.
This is the Jack Sedman fan base right here.
There's an exception to every terrible fan base, yeah.
We know.
One thing that you need to understand about Trey Hendrickson, we have got Daddy-O on our side, and the illegal drugs that man has just smuggled to the team. We have no idea what Trey has been injected with. Only Daddy-O knows, but he is probably, like, he might be Spider-Man at this point.
Right. I'll tell you, I have never stretched, let alone hyperextended anything. But I think that Trey Hendrickson, I feel like he uses his arms a lot more than his legs. I'm not really worried about it. Okay, Hoji, give it to us.
So if you look at the Baltimore Ravens this year and the teams that have been able to vanquish them, okay, they are AFC teams, two of them in the AFC North. And they've been able to do so because this is a really, really, this team, you know, with Lamar is unstoppable for most of the NFL. But you have to realize that in the AFC North, these defenses are designed basically around the Ravens, okay? And the Bengals specifically more than others. Now, if you look at our last game, we didn't do too bad considering that Joe Burrow, you know, wasn't 100%, you know, conspiracy theories in Baltimore aside. But you're not dealing with the same Bengals as even we saw on Sunday against Texas, against the Houston Texans. Why? Because this is an angry Joe Burrow. This is a never again Joe Burrow. This is a, and I quote here, that was unacceptable Joe Burrow. And if there's one thing that people know about Joe Burrow, it's that when he's angry and he's down and his team is losing, somehow that's the time when he plays the best. If only someone could lie to Joe Burrow and tell him in the beginning of the season, hey, your record right now is like 3-5 and you got to win all the next games from now on, and it could convince him that every first quarter is the fourth quarter, this team would be unstoppable. But for some reason, this is a man, and he must be an oldest child, because eldest children have this tendency to procrastinate. But that aside, my prediction. I don't actually think this is going to be a close one. I think this is going to be a Bengals vanquishing to be remembered. I think the Bengals are. This is going to be a, as we say in my home country, don't play with the lion's tail, in this case, the tiger's tail. Or in here in America, in the States, we say, you know, don't play with fire unless you want to get burnt, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a big win for the Bengals. I say it's going to be 27 Bengals, 14 Baltimore. I don't know if we have time to show the clip from my prediction, Jack, but I actually called the Bengals' loss against Houston, and I said that it would be lost by one field goal, and I was that accurate.
That's right.
These Hoja scores are surgical, Dr. Jack Sutterman. These are very, and so that is my
Hoja score. All right. Well, look, these are two teams that have both overcome a lot of adversity, I would say. You know, Joe Burrow, he was injured his first six games of the season, and the Ravens haven't had Joe Burrow all season, all 10 games or ever. And that's very difficult to overcome. But I will say this, It is prime time. The Bengals are, you know, 0-14 since 2013 on the road in prime time. That's not good.
The and Ravens are 18-2 at home in prime.
Did I say Ravens? So. I meant the Bengals. Did I say Ravens?
No. The Bengals are 0-14. Yeah. The Ravens are 18-2 in prime time.
There you go.
Under Harbaugh.
This is right. Jack, and you got to get used to his passive aggressive mode of communication. So
right.
He'll tell you that he's agreeing with you to disagree with you. It's very right. complicated. Right. It's a ballet.
So look, exactly. So here's the thing. Joe Burrow had a not so great game. And this guy, this genius, the smartest man in the world, Mike McDaniel, whatever, he has his number, like you said. So I see Joe Burrow, I hate to say it, pooping his pants on primetime.
No.
And I think the Bengals are going to go down. They're going down, and the final score will be 27-17 Cincinnati. That is my prediction.
Wow. Wait a minute. 27 Cincinnati winning.
Right. Yeah.
And yet Burrow's pooping
his pants. It's a ballet.
So
Lamar pooped his pants and beat the Browns.
That's exactly right.
Pooping the pants is how you win.
Pooping your pants is an analogy. It's an analogy for when you get something out of your system and you turn it on late in the game. You win the game in the clutch. Wow. That's what Joe Burrow is going to have.
I've never heard that analogy. That's really...
Lamar Jackson started in 2020 when he beat the Browns in prime time. Yeah.
He called it pooping his pants.
No, he did poop his pants. Yeah. We call
it. Isn't there that video of him like running into the locker room?
And something is trickling down his leg. Yeah.
That's a deep cut, Daddy-o.
Thank you.
I got to say, for someone with your, and I don't know how to put this lightly, but your intelligence quotient, your IQ, that was really good.
Thank you.
I think you deserve a treat.
And it's funny that Jack is the first person to ever get one of my predictions, right?
Yeah, he really understood your language.
And by the way, when I say they're going down, I mean they're going down in history because they're going to break the 0-14 streak of prime time
in history.
All streaks eventually are broken
by Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow.
Well, you know how many streaks? It's just a law of odds and averages. Like a streak will not last forever. It will often last longer than we expect it to, but they don't last
forever. Now, by streak, we're not talking... This is not a poop metaphor.
Not Lamar Jackson the streak, no.
Okay.
We're not talking about down your pants. We're talking about a winning or losing a streak, yeah.
They're probably both correlated.
Yeah.
Jack, I want to thank you for being on the
show. Before we go, Jack, can we all agree that even though the Bengals and the Ravens have a kind of a rivalry, everybody dislikes the Steelers more, and yet somehow everybody dislikes the Chiefs the most? Is that fair to say? Like
I don't pay attention to the Chiefs, just them and their fake relationships with pop stars. That's all.
But see, that's the thing. I feel it in your voice that you, like me, you resent them and you dislike the Chiefs the most. I feel like we share that. I think we all, the AFC, has something against the Chiefs.
It's because whenever we watch a game, we are bombarded with Travis Kelce. And now it's worse, right? As a non-Taylor Swift fan, I find this nauseating to begin with. As a female football fan, I think it's like, it's just icky. I feel like they're making it seem like women didn't like football until Taylor Swift started dating a football player. So it's kind of like patronizing. But regardless of that whole charade, we have to see him hawking insurance. And they're hawking, I don't know, Lowe's stuff and Subway, which no one wants to eat anyway. The fact that they're paying Justin Herbert and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes to hawk $5 footlongs that no one wants to eat to begin with is ridiculous. But we have T-Mobile or I don't know. We have to see him selling everything and like, come on. Yeah, there is such a thing as too much.
There is, except when it comes to supporting this show. You mentioned being patronizing. You mentioned, you know, all this commodifying of.
And there's all things that connect to us.
And you can go to patreon.com/thehsports to support Bridget, who supports a lot of disadvantaged people. So when you donate there, it's going to a good place. So thank you, Bridget. Yeah.
That's not entirely true. I mean, when people donate to the show, it isn't going to disadvantaged children.
No, but Bridget supports disadvantaged people.
Yeah, but she's on our show. Yeah. Quite
a we can't get into it. The show is running out of time. We're running out of time here. Yeah.
But leave a comment in the comment section, guys. I would love to hear from you. Which team do you hate the most?
Well, let's leave a comment. How can we win Jack over to the Bengals? Because I really like him too much.
You know, we are huge Jack fans. I don't know if you know that, Jack.
I'm huge you guys fans.
We talk about you year round. Like, when is Jack going to be on the show? Where's Jack? What would Jack say? What would Jack do? You know, it's a lot of Jack.
It's a lot of Jack.
As much as I love Jack, I actually want to keep Jack over there because it's nice to have sane, rational
people. But you can have Jack with you everywhere you go, Bridget.
You can have
like $500. You can just pack Jack up, take him with you, take him to games.
Jack him up.
Jack me up. All right.
I'll have to think about it. That's an enticing proposition.
Better hurry up. Black Friday afterwards is going way up. Right, Jack?
Way up.
Okay. Well, that is all we have. So thank you for watching the show. We will see you next time. So long, sweetie pies.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.